Luke chapter 12. The first part of this message I preached on January the 10th in the Sunday morning service. And so if you were not a part of that first part of this message, you can go back and listen to it either on our website or on sermon audio and pick up the first part. It's a passage of scripture that's probably not preached on that often, but there's so much for us. And if you're in the habit of taking notes, I'd encourage you to take notes tonight. And I hope that this will be a help and a blessing to you. And I want to just kind of walk back through a couple of things as we look at this passage. And as I read the entirety of the text, we'll review just a little bit from the nature of what's occurred in the previous verses. But I want you to go back with me to chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. And we want to, and in fact, I'm going to read one verse from chapter 11, because we're in an extended section of back and forth between the Lord Jesus Christ and individuals that were in the crowd. And if you'll notice, verse number 54, Luke chapter 11, verse number 54, the Bible says, speaking of the scribes and Pharisees that just hated him, the Bible says, they're laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. One commentator said this: the Lord's enemies were beating every bush in the hope of flushing into the open some hidden inconsistency in his life. They're doing their very best to find something about the Lord that they can use against him, and we find it listed here. So that we turn our attention into chapter 12, and we have a number of things that are very familiar to us in chapter 12. Of course, we have the message that the Lord delivers to them on the matter of covetousness and the parable of covetousness, the covetous man, the farmer that said, I've got so much, I'm going to tear down these things and I'm going to build bigger. And we're very familiar with that story. And the Bible says that, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then he says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so we're familiar with that. We move then into a section where the Lord gives many warnings about the use of our time, our talent, and our treasure. And everyone is given talent, everyone is given treasure, and everyone is given time. And they're to be laid back at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we know him as our Savior, we do not serve the Lord in order to go to heaven. We serve the Lord in light of what he's done for us and for the salvation for all eternity. Then we move to the matter of the warning that was given to those that were given much and how much would be required of them. And God said to them, much shall be required of thee. So all of those flavors are here in this chapter, and we come to the continuation of this message. And I preached already from the first two verses in this text, and I'll review it in just a moment, and then we'll finish out this chapter tonight. If you're there in Luke chapter 12, would you look at verse number 49 with me? 49 and 50, the Bible says, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Again, that's the first part of the message, and I preached on that passage, those two verses, back on January the 10th. Just by way of quick review, as the Lord wraps up all these interactions in chapters 11 and 12, the Lord is going to give the defining moment, the pinnacle of human history. And he says, I am come to send fire on the earth. What is the event that would be the focal point of human history? And it's the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary changes everything. And so in the Old Testament, they look forward to the cross of Calvary, and they trusted Jesus Christ by faith that Christ would come and that he would deliver them from their sins. And then we, of course, in the New Testament age, live with the understanding that Christ did come, and we put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But in these two verses, we find three things that were at the heart of the crucifixion. Number one, Christ came to send fire on the earth. And in that message, in the extended portion of the message, we looked at the different natures of fire in the Word of God. You have the fire of persecution. You have a fire of purging. You have a fire of Pentecost. You have these different references to fire. And the Bible says that Christ came to send fire on the earth. And of course, as individuals followed the Lord Jesus Christ, they would face the fire of persecution. In Acts chapter 2, we find the nature of the fire of Pentecost and how it empowered the church to go out and do what God wanted it to do. And so we find that he had set a fire on the earth. But I love the passage. It says, "And if it be already kindled." I believe with all of my heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is referencing the nature of men like John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an Old Testament prophet, New Testament preacher combined into one man. And so we find in the life of John the Baptist that he kind of gathered that initial kindling. And he brought together that initial fire, a matter that had not been kindled for over 400 years from the close of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament. And so I just love to think on the nature of what John the Baptist did when he was such a stark contrast to the nature of the normal religious crowd of that day. His dress was different, his demeanor was different, all of his messages were different, and I believe with all of my heart that that's where that kindling and the focus of that kindling begins. But then we find two other things in verse number 50, and these ought to stir every single believer as well. He says, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with." Again, the word baptism in our Bible, in our English version, is a transliteration. It literally means to immerse. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I'm going to immerse myself in this event. I'm going to be baptized with this baptism. I'm going to immerse myself in the nature of this event." And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ enduring the full death of the cross. It does speak to the matter as to why it's an insult for anyone to say that what they're going to do in living a good life will be necessary to add to what Christ did on the cross. If Christ immersed himself in the full death of the cross, how is it that you and I think that we could add money to that and that it would help save us? How is it that we could think that doing some good things or good works, that it would help save us? No, the Lord Jesus Christ paid it all, and all to him we owe. And so we find the nature of that baptism and Christ immersing himself in the full death of the cross. And then another great thought, the end of verse number 50, the Bible says, "And how am I straightened till it be accomplished?" We're familiar with the word straightened, and we think of taking a line or a road, and we think of straightening it. This is more of the analogy of a straight jacket. And if you'll bear with me in a very short and condensed explanation of this, the Bible says that Christ came and took upon himself the form of flesh and was made in the likeness of men. The fact that Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% man 100% of the time, he never ceased to be God. But he did willingly allow himself to be clothed in humanity. And as he's clothed in humanity, it's like us taking an individual and putting a straitjacket on the individual and confining them so that they cannot act as they otherwise would. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ says now about the confining or the constraints of humanity. "Now am I straightened," but the time is going to come that that straightening will be lifted. And where the disciples would have thought to themselves, "Hey, this is the best thing going. We have God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, here in the Garden of Gethsemane, talking to us one-on-one, the Lord with 11 men. It can't get any better than this." And yet, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say in John 14, 15, 16, and 17? He said, "Men, it's going to get a lot better than this." They thought to themselves, the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is the best that will ever be offered. And the Lord said, "No, it's necessary for me to go away, and I will send a comforter." And so instead of the presence, the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ being a blessing to the 11 that were there or the hundreds that were gathered at his ascension, instead of that being the focal point, now, my friend, understand this, and again, this ought to be cause for rejoicing, every believer has God indwelling them. And so instead of us saying that we have reason to rejoice, Jesus is here in the presence of our congregation, the truth of the matter is Jesus is present in every believer. And it was necessary through his crucifixion, his, burial and his resurrection to accomplish all of this. He's lifted from the constraints of humanity. And he, of course, returns to the full use of his deity. So we looked at those two verses and the event. Now, if we could, let's transition to verses 51 to 59. And I want you to see the effect. This is the effect upon the world. This is how it unfolds for the world. This is what it means to the world. And again, it's based upon the entirety of chapter 12 as to what is said here in these closing verses. But I don't want you to forget that the event is the crucifixion. This is what it means for the believer. This is what Christ did. This was the purpose of his coming. This was the purpose of his death, burial, and resurrection. The ministry of Christ on the cross will have certain results, and those results will be revealing about society. And so that's what we want to look at tonight. There's three things that are revealed about the nature of Christ's death, burial, resurrection, his work on the cross. There are certain effects that come from that, and I want you to see that tonight as we read the remaining part of the passage. Look at verse number 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Will you go back with me to the beginning of chapter 12, because I want you to read verses 1 and 2 with me. I want you to see back here in Luke chapter 12, read verses 1 and 2 again. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. In this closing portion of this chapter, it falls on the heels of that statement. There's nothing that shall not be known. It will all be revealed. And the Lord Jesus Christ is revealing some significant things here about society. So the first two verses deal specifically with the Lord's crucifixion and the event that would take place. Now, I want you to see with me tonight how this impacts society and the nature of how this impacts society and what the crucifixion would do in society. Number one with me, if you're taking notes, first of all, his victory on the cross reveals the division in society. It reveals his division or their division in society. Look down with me again at verses 51 to 53. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. And then he speaks to the household and he says, father's going to be against son, son against father, mother against daughter, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, three against two, two against three. And he says, this is going to bring division. Now, I want you to put your spiritual thinking cap on with me for a minute and tell me if this registers. Read the opening part of that verse again with me. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth. Well, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, what does the Bible call the Lord Jesus Christ? It calls him the Prince of Peace. What happened on that great angelic night in Luke chapter 2 when the host appeared before all of these shepherds and the fields of that time? What did they say? They said, glory to God in the highest. And what? Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. Wait a minute. I thought that Christ was the giver of peace. I thought He was the one that would bring peace to the world. And oh my, can we not use peace in the world? It seems as though with every passing politician, there's someone that comes up with a new plan for peace. But the Lord Jesus Christ makes a statement here and He says, listen, I've not come to bring peace, but it says rather division. Oh, is this political division? So I'm going to have 3 Republicans in one house and 2 Democrats? I'm going to have 3 Democrats in one house and 2 Republicans? Oh, mom's going to be against daughter because daughter is progressive and mom is conservative? Oh yes, the division in the house. It's just like the license plates that I see where they have an Alabama fan and an Auburn fan that are in the same household. Oh, that's the division. It's based upon sports. When the Bible says that there's going to be division, again, let's think back. Why will there be division? We go back to the event. And what Christ was going to do on the cross of Calvary, and my friend, that is the dividing line for all of human history. Where do you stand in relationship to the cross? You see, it is what divides father from son. It is what divides mother from daughter. It is what divides family against family. I know we don't so much see it here in the United States, but if you travel with me to many portions of this globe and you ask someone about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they say, boy, I really want to receive Christ, but you just don't understand what it will mean with my family. I mean, I could very well be cut off from my heritage. They would change my last name. They would act as though I never existed. There'd be so much hatred in the home. Well, can I tell you that there's 2 bookends to this story of Christ? We obviously believe that Christ is the Prince of Peace. We believe that Christ came to bring peace on the earth. And of course, at one point in time, that peace will be accomplished. It's known as the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll bring peace to the earth. It will be a utopia under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring peace. But in this time frame, there's a divisive event. And that divisive event is the cross of Calvary. Where do you stand? On which side of this matter do you fall? Has there been a time in your life where you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone and you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Perhaps tonight you've got a mom in a distant state that's been praying for you for all these years that you come to this side of the cross and meet Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, there's been a divide between myself and the rest of my family for years. Well, my friend, that divide will continue all the way through eternity if you do not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The event reveals the nature of the division in society. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came unto His own and His own received Him not. You see, there were many that were ready to embrace the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were ready to see Jesus Christ deliver the Jewish people from the Roman domination. They were ready for Him to lead an empire, to lead a group of soldiers to deliver all of the Israelites away from Romans and away from the Roman domination. But Jesus Christ didn't come to set up His physical kingdom at that time. He came to deliver each man individually. And the event, the cross of Jesus Christ, the one by which a fire is kindled, the one by which Jesus Christ has immersed Himself, the one by which His constraints will be lifted, will be a dividing line for all of mankind. You know, we hear the word compromise all the time in D.C. We just need to compromise. We just need to compromise. My friend, can I tell you tonight that there is no compromise when it comes to John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no compromise on that, my friend. See, my mom and dad don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? You've got to beg God to bring conviction to their heart one more time. You think that the dividing line is difficult on this side? Imagine what it will be like at the great white throne judgment when the dividing line is eternal. And we have family members that have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and hear those words, depart from me, for I never knew you. You see, the time to span the nature of that division is today. And to pray with all that is in you, God, be merciful to mom and dad. May they get saved even today. Be merciful to my brother, my sister. Be merciful to my aunts and my uncles. I know that on this side, when we gather at family reunion, there are people that don't want to talk at all about religion. They want to talk at all about the Bible. They hate the Word of God. Boy, it's a time for us to be in prayer for them. Because it is the matter that brings division to society, the cross of Jesus Christ. Would you notice the second part that is revealed by the nature of the crucifixion? The crucifixion or the cross not only reveals the division in society, but number two, it reveals that discernment escapes religion. Discernment escapes religion. What a day for me to use a weather forecasting illustration. Isn't that great? Look at these early prognosticators. Do you see it down here? Look at what the Bible says in discerning, in their discernment. Look at verse number 54. He said also unto the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And we see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat. And it cometh to pass, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? These people had become masters of the weather forecasting industry. Well, I tell you, there's not many jobs in this life that I would really, 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 really want to do, but I tell you, that's one of the jobs that I've never, 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 ever wanted. Although, you can be wrong the majority of the time and still keep your job. This morning, our Mr. Bradford and I were, if you'll allow me to segue here, Mr. Bradford and I were talking about how these nights of going into that time frame where you're the one that's having to make the decision about what's going to happen the next day, they're terrible nights. They're restless nights. I hardly sleep. And this morning of all times, because I had watched the forecast and kind of how it was trending, and they said, it could start snowing at 5 a.m. And so I was like, okay, 5 a.m. So I set my alarm. I went to bed earlier, set my alarm and so forth. I got up and checked, and I heard rain. I was like, okay, all right, rain, that's good, okay. I got back up at 6 o'clock. Rain, okay, I hear it, okay, all right. I got back up about 6:45, and I text Tammy, and I said, Tammy, please send out the note to everyone. We're going to have services on site. Come, be careful. We're looking good. We're going to try to do that by 7:30 this morning. So I said, hey, I've got another hour. So I laid back down from 6 or from 6:45 till around 7:45 or 7:50. Now, do you know what happened then? Somehow all of the snow in the heavens was dropped in like 3 minutes. And I got back up at 7:45, and this is after the email's gone out. Yes, come on, we're ready for you and everything. I look out, and I'm like, what? This is a winter wonderland. What kind of insane pastor would drag all of his people out in this kind of weather? And I'm thinking what so many of you were thinking when you read the email that we were having services. What is he thinking? Look at outside. This is ridiculous. And I said, well, I guess we're going to try to listen to the forecasters because they said it would come and then it would warm up and they said that it would go away pretty quickly. I mean, and lo and behold, it has done that. And I'm shocked. When I looked at the radar this morning, I was amazed at how the 95 corridor was the dividing line. If you were on the eastern side, you're getting pretty much rain. If you're on the western side, you're pretty much getting snow. And it is amazing at how smoothly they can detect and discern what's going on with the weather. Now the Lord goes to them, and he uses some very familiar things to them. Do you all remember these things? You guys can fill in the blanks. You probably don't know much about boating and fishing and sailing and everything, but you've heard this statement. Red at night, sailors delight. I didn't even know anything about boating or sailing or fishing, but I know that phrase. Red at night, sailors delight. Red in the morning, sailors take warning. The Lord uses a weatherman forecast. And he says to them, you guys know the nature of these two things. You guys are so wise when you see that cloud rise out of the west and you declare that there's a shower coming, and it comes. You're so smart in understanding that when you see the south wind blow, that there's going to be heat. You're so smart. But as we've seen here in chapters 11 and 12, as he's specifically dealing with the nature of the religious crowd, he says, you guys are so smart in these areas, but there's some more obvious things that you have desperately missed. You see, you know when the rain is coming, you know when the heat is coming, but there's something that is far more obvious, and it stands right in front of you, and you are blind to it. Let me give it to you this way. They had discernment of physical things, but not spiritual things. The spiritual things were actually far more obvious. The Lord's lineage. You go to Matthew chapter 1 and you find that the Lord was the son of Mary from one portion of the royal line. But he's the adopted son of Joseph. He's conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. And in the adoption of Joseph, he has the right racial line. He's from the royal side. He's from the racial side. He's from Mary and Joseph. And these people could not discern it in the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't discern his birth. There were individuals at the time of his birth, and they said, there's a king that is born. Well, who's this king? And some of the individuals were smart enough to go back to the Old Testament, and they were smart enough to say, well, back here it says that this is supposed to happen. But this crowd, this religious crowd that supposedly knew the Old Testament so well, couldn't discern these things. They couldn't discern the Lord's forerunner. The Old Testament testifies of John the Baptist, and they didn't recognize that John the Baptist was that one that fulfilled all of those prophecies. They couldn't discern the Lord's ministry and what he was really here to accomplish, and they certainly couldn't understand the Lord's miracles. He said, you guys are so brilliant in this weather forecasting, the forecasting of physical things, but you have oh so missed it in spiritual things. And again tonight, with those that are on campus and those that are watching online, I wonder if there's anyone in either of these arenas that has a lot of wisdom on physical things, but you've missed it spiritually thus far. You still do not know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and gave himself specifically for you. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The first thing that he points out as a result of this event is the division that would come in society. The second thing that he points out is that discernment escapes religion. The religious crowd was just so wise in all these non-essential arenas, but they misunderstood totally what Jesus Christ came to do and what he would provide and fulfill. And then would you notice with me number three tonight, and this is very sobering as we finish out this chapter. The cross of Jesus Christ, the event, will have an impact upon society. And here's how he closes it, and this is why I go back again to read the opening two verses of Luke chapter 12. He says there, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. We come to these last three verses, and he says, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. And this is a very sobering verse. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. There's a third thing that is an ingredient in the impact on society, or the effect. What is this event? The event is the cross of Jesus Christ. How will it impact society? Here's the third thing. It means discipline for all that reject Jesus Christ. It means discipline for all that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. He says discernment escapes religion. There'll be division in society, but know this. And again, I go back to verse number 2 and to relate this truth over and over and over again. There shall be nothing hidden. You know, one of the hardest things that happens to an individual is that process of standing before an overseer or a judge when you are the defendant. So when I had trouble in grade school with a teacher, and the teacher said, "Todd, will you stay after class? I need to speak with you." I get the phone call from Mr. Hansen, our administrator at the time, and he says, "Todd, tomorrow I need to see you in my office." They didn't normally do that because they were giving me a congratulatory remark or sheet of excellence. Or perhaps in one of the occasions where I might have infracted upon the speed limit, I might have had an infraction there, and I have to go before the judge. Boy, you go up and you sit and you wait for your name to be called, and I'm telling you, that's just, oh, miserable. Nothing, my friend, will begin to compare to the nature of the great white throne judgment. And I want you to see these verses perhaps in a whole new light tonight, because the Lord is specifically telling these individuals that were unbelievers, the Lord is speaking specifically to them because they could not discern spiritual things. They were full of the leaven of the Pharisees, full of hypocrisy. And he says to them, look at this, and I want you to see the nature of this flow. Will you look at it again in verse number 54? When thou goest with thine, the first one, adversary, to the magistrate, and he delivers you up to the judge, and the judge delivers you up to the officer, and they cast you into prison, and he says, and you will be there until thou hast paid the very last mite. What are we talking about here? If you are without Christ tonight, understand this, you are the enemy of Almighty God. If you do not know yet Jesus as your Savior, you are the enemy of Almighty God. And so I would ask you to go through this verse and understand that the adversary is Almighty God. The magistrate is Almighty God. The judge is Almighty God. The officer is Almighty God. And the Bible says, for everyone that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ on this side will pay the debt of their sin until the very last mite is paid in full. And Mark chapter 9 tells us very clearly that that debt is for all eternity. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You see, he looks out on the crowd of the religious individuals, those that had no discernment, those that were allowed to be so divisive in their homes. And when they had someone that trusted Jesus Christ, they're doing everything that they can to find something against him. And he says, one day, your adversary is going to come and take you by the hand and lead you to a magistrate. And when you've not reconciled with the magistrate, you're going to go before the judge. And when you've not made things right with the judge, you're going to go before the officer. And listen to me carefully. You will pay until the very last mite has been cared for. Now let's put this in two different perspectives. Number one, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary. Listen to this. He paid it all. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he declared, "It is finished. There's nothing that I can add to it. There's nothing you can add to it. Oh, well, I should probably take a 2-year missionary journey." You can't add to what Christ already did on the cross. That's an insult. He's looking out over all these religious individuals that think they're something, and he's insulted at the fact that they think they can do anything to add what he will do on the cross of Calvary. My friend, when you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, he paid it all. All to him I owe. When we arrive home in heaven, we all arrive there with one declaration. Jesus paid it all. And I did nothing to deserve it. But would you understand this with me? If you walk into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ, the adversary, the magistrate, the judge, the officer are all combined in one, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself who declares, "I died for you. What did you do with my offer of salvation?" And he will say to them, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." So here's the two sides. Here's the two options. You today can receive the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. You can have your sins forgiven, have your burden lifted. You can be on your way to heaven even today. Or you can choose to live this life and to go into eternity. And listen to this. You will spend an eternity apart from Almighty God in the lake of fire because you will pay to the very last mite. And my friend, would you understand tonight that there is no escape? Jesus is very clear. I went to the cross of Calvary to pay the entirety of your debt. Later on in the New Testament, we find that great passage that Christ Jesus died not just for my sins, but for the sins of the whole world. If the Father only laid on Jesus Christ my sins, it was too great a debt to be paid by any one man. But the Father laid on the Son the iniquity of us all. And today's the day, whether here in this service or watching online, today's the day for you to transition from God being your adversary to God being your Father. But mark my words. For all those that choose and that would say, "No, Pastor, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing." For all that would say that, do you know what? You have that choice. Because there is no coercion. There's no conquering that takes place in order to save a soul. No, it's all about converting the sinner. And you have to make a choice. And in making the choice on this side, you accept the penalty that Christ paid, and therefore, when you enter heaven, you'll never pay for that sin because Christ did it all at the cross. Would you hear me tonight? If for some reason breath is taken from your soul tonight, ere you lay your head on your pillow, and you've not been reconciled to Jesus Christ, hear me and hear me well. You will spend an eternity paying to the very last mite. That's why the Bible says, today's the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so very much for these verses. They have been so challenging to me, and it has been a privilege for me to study out this text. And to consider the event surrounding the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, to consider what Christ did when he endured the full death of the cross. But I'm also mindful tonight of the effect that is there for society. And I know many in society think right now that the divisiveness is gauged by people's political party. It's gauged by their sports entertainment. The division is over racial lines or it's been created on some other cultural line, and so there's division. No, the true divide comes from the cross. And the Bible says that there is a narrow way, and the Bible says that there is a broad way. If there be one or more people tonight that are either here on campus or watching online that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, would you bring conviction to their heart that they might be saved? That they might be converted. It's such a shame that there are individuals that walk in religion and yet they have no discernment. They know all the facts and the stats about the Bible. They have all the head knowledge, but it's never been transferred to the heart. And Christ looks out upon a vast array of religiosity in the crowd, and he sees the hypocrisy, and he says, there's going to come a day in which everything that's been hidden is going to be made known. On that day, there will be many that say unto him, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things in thy name? And he will say unto them, depart from me, for I never knew you. They could not discern the Lord Jesus Christ's accomplishment at Calvary. And Lord, it's an interesting passage when we discern in these closing verses of this chapter that in fact we have chosen God as our adversary. And one day he will stand as our judge and deliver us to an officer and then deliver individuals to prison to pay to the very last mite. If it be an adult tonight that's not yet been born again, would you bring conviction to their heart? If it be a young person tonight, you know, we're not saved by the decisions of our parents or grandparents. We're saved because we individually repent of our sin. And I pray if there be one tonight that's not yet been converted, would you draw them to yourself? Would they on this night transition from being the enemy of God to being in the family of God? May they accept the finished work of Christ on the cross. Thank you again for these dear folks tonight and their time invested in this service. In Jesus' name I pray.